Sorry for forgetting about the sequence there. I kind of created a little literal mass chaos up here. So we all survived. If that's the worst thing that happens today, I think we're doing good. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Not take the Holy Spirit, not put up with the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. We'll get back into my little linguistic twist there in a minute. When has been a time in your life when you have been enlivened and inflamed? Yes, by the Holy Spirit, but just in general too. What are times in your life when you have went from lacking confidence to receiving confidence? When you've gone from brokenness to strength? When you've gone from timidity to excitement and vigor and joy? Think of that. What are some experiences in your life where that transformation took place? As I shared with you, the beautiful thing about Pentecost is you see the followers of Jesus huddled in the upper room, hiding. And then something happened. Something touched them, something grabbed their lives, something enlivened them, inflamed their hearts, and they went out in confidence and proclaimed the gospel in tongues. Now, in our modern times, we oftentimes think of speaking in tongues as an indiscernible babble and prayer. But in the Acts, it's defined differently. A tongue that everyone can understand. We hear them speaking in our own language. We are receiving the gospel. Receptivity. It wasn't just that Jesus' followers were on fire and preaching the gospel. Yes, they were, but the people as well had a heart of reception to receive what they were saying, understood clearly and distinctly. When I think back to my life of times when I have been both just inspired in the broad sense, but also inspired by the Holy Spirit, I was reminded of my high school days. High school was not a fun time for me. I struggled academically. I didn't realize when I was in high school that I had mild dyslexia. That wasn't diagnosed until I was in college. But the school just presumed that I was slow, maybe intellectually lazy, kind of the stuff that typically happens to kids with mild dyslexia. I'm really glad that they don't use this verbiage anymore, but when I was in high school, I was put into what was called non-college-bound English, because we had college-bound English and non-college-bound English. We, who were in non-college-bound English, renamed ourselves aptly as the Tire Retreaders because we figured that the best we could do in life was to get a job at the tire plant that was, you know, about a half hour away from town. That was our aspiration. And that's the way we saw ourselves. And I'll never forget Mr. Ron Davis, English teacher. He lives in Eau Claire now. I bumped into him at Bronze Bay one time doing some bird photography, and I was like, Mr. Davis? He's like, I'm retired now. Nobody's called me Mr. Davis for years. And Ron Davis and I had a chance to catch up. And I said, Ron, you don't realize you changed my life. And you don't realize that without you, I couldn't have become a Catholic priest. And Ron was like, what? Kind of what? Because Ron Davis taught non-college-bound English, or as my friends and I called it, the Tire Retreaders English. And one day, Ron called me after class. It was my sophomore or junior year of high school. And as is typically the case, I thought, what did I do? I didn't do anything bad at lunch today. I just went out to the barrel. I didn't really hang around with the kids out there. And I said, Mr. Davis, what do you want? He said, this paper, there's something wrong with it. And I kind of hung my head because, yeah, I hear that a lot. He said, it's good. What? It's a good paper. Yeah, there's some grammatical errors here, some word reversals. I think I know what's going on with you. But this is good. You shouldn't be in non-college-bound English. You should be in college-bound English. I'm just letting you know this because I'm going to transfer you. I don't know why you're here. You shouldn't be here. Now, at that time, I was thinking about seminary out of high school. But I stopped thinking about it the day that I went into non-college-bound English. Why? Because I didn't think I was college material. And in order to become a priest, you have to have an undergraduate degree. So I thought, oh, I'll just follow my dad to the paper mill, which I would have been incredibly happy with. And I don't want to point that out as a life of drudgery or anything like that. I think that it's such a cultural mistake that we make that we think less of physical labor jobs and farm careers. And we should really celebrate those careers and see them as providing the very essential things that we need. My dad, when I was a kid, it would always annoy me. We would go into a grocery store to the magazine stand, and he'd grab a magazine because about 80% of the glossy paper that magazines were used went through his paper rewinder. And he'd be like, Jamie, come here. See any defects on this paper? No. And you know why there's no defects in this paper? Because it went through your rewinder. Right. He took pride in what he did. He took pride in his job. So I wasn't sad. I was sad thinking I couldn't be a priest, but I liked working at the paper mill in the summers. That was my summer job. That's what helped me get through college. But when Mr. Davis told me that I was in college-bound ministry, it wasn't just that I was going to go to college, which, to be quite frank, I wasn't terribly excited about, other than the fact that it did reopen the door for priesthood. He set me on fire. He, through a simple gesture that he did as a teacher that he probably didn't even think about, he was just kind of like, all right, mistake here, move this kid from there, next day of classes. And I could tell in our conversation, that's kind of the way that he saw it. I'm like, Ron, you opened a door. You inspired me. You said, even though you didn't say it, that you believed in me. And I received something. The desire to go to college, to get a degree, and to become a priest. And in typical Ron Davis fashion, he's a very humble, simple man. He's like, that's nice. What are times like that in your life when somebody in simple ways that they're probably not even aware of set you on fire because you thought that there was something in your life that you could not have access to, but one event, one moment happened that inflamed your heart, that woke you up, that gave you the drive and the passion to be more than who you are, to be what God asks you to be. What is that in your life? We need to become more excited as Catholics. We need to be more inspirational. We need to look for those moments when we can build. Look for those moments when we can touch people's lives. Look for those moments when we can be like Jesus' followers. And in simple or big ways, proclaim a truth to somebody about who they are in God's eyes that can change their lives, which leads me to receptiveness. I wasn't receptive of the idea of going to college because I just thought I was dumb as a bag of hammers because I was a non-college-bound English. I was fine with that, and that was going to send me on a certain trajectory in life. Truth was, even if I would have stayed in non-college-bound English, I wasn't as dumb as a bag of hammers, and everybody else wasn't as dumb as a bag of hammers either. Their gifts laid elsewhere. Their gifts that are not valued in our world are different. And with that moment, how can we build up so that we can inspire everybody, whether they're working in a factory job, as a farmer, as a university professor, as a doctor, as a teacher, as a plumber. How can we inspire them to not only pursue a career, but to pursue a life in the Lord? And that's where receptivity comes in. I could not become a priest until I was receptive to the Spirit. I could not be inspired and inflamed till I made that conscious decision that I was going to allow the Lord to work in my life. It's a lot easier to say, I don't want to be receptive. I'll choose it someday down the road. No, that's not how this works. Receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus says. Open your heart, Jesus says. And when you do, hold on. Joy is around the corner. Therefore, I would ask you today, dear friends, to pray with this question. Is your heart ready to receive the Spirit? For some of you, that might be something you do daily. Great, receive it again. Believe it, we've been through enough these past few years. We need a little enlivening. We need a little breath of the Spirit of God to enliven us and awaken us. Are you receptive? Don't think of your faith as something that you take. Your faith is something you receive. Last thought. The Eucharist, the words of institution, believe it or not, are mistranslated. Take this, all of you, and eat of it. The Latin actually is, receive this. Interesting. What if we approach Jesus not as something that we can claim ownership of and to take, but a position of receptivity? Lord, I want to receive you in my life. Open your heart. Receive the Holy Spirit. But together, let us be inspired by the Lord and then inspire others in our lives to be wonderful people of faith. Wonderful people of love. And who knows, maybe there might be in this parish a non-college-bound English youth that by simply allowing the Lord to touch your life may inspire them to become your pastor someday.